School's out for summer. Let the holidays begin.
Tonight, new developments impacting your plans and your pocketbook.
Offering relief on the roads, a cut to a gas tax as families head out of town. How long a drop in fuel costs is expected to last.
And we're live at the airport with efforts to clear the air, cutting flights to deal with long lines and delays. Good evening for many. This is the start of summer.
The Canada Day long weekend's before us, and it comes with many developments on the financial front. We begin with a cut to a gas tax and what it means for the price you pay at the pump. Andrew.
Nathan, we're at the, really the first stop that most people take on their way to Muskoka to go up to Cottage Country. Everyone wants to get out of Dodge when it comes to the long weekend. The problem is filling up the Dodge to get there.
The boats are hitched, the traffic snarling. The long weekend is here.
It's going to be great. Can't wait. We're gone for a week.
But the cost of getting there isn't what it used to be.
Normally that would probably cost me about $65. It's probably going to cost me, you know, double that, probably $120 to get up there. So
you see it on every street corner as gas prices rise to levels we have never seen before.
The premier is making good on a budget promise to cut the provincial gas tax by 5.7 cents per liter as of Canada Day. Until New Year's. His government claims it will save an average household $465 a year, but only combined with savings on license plate renewals. Doug Ford says it's now up to Ottawa to help with the pain at the pump by cutting the carbon tax.
It's a no-brainer to me, but I don't control the gas prices. We're maxing out what we can do for the taxpayers of Ontario.
Combined with other market factors, drivers are expected to get some refueling relief in the coming days.
We're going from 204.9 today down to 193.9 on Friday, Canada Day. And we could see prices go below $1.90 to $1.89 if we're really lucky on Saturdays.
But analysts are expecting prices to rise in the summer, eating away at the gas tax relief. Some now are cutting back. Others are taking things in stride.
If I get a cut back, I cut back on restaurants and things like that. I just eat at home and go out and have fun.
Filling up on optimism to start a long weekend.
Now, with Ottawa and the House of Commons having broken for the summer, it's unclear when that any relief could be coming on that front. Doug Ford saying that Ontario potentially could be having this temporary gas tax extended into the new year. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thanks, Andrew. From the roads to the skies, if you have a summer flight booked, this could ground your plans.
A couple of Canada's biggest airlines are cutting back on scheduled flights this summer. It follows weeks of travel chaos at the airport, and travelers say they're feeling left in limbo. CTV's Janice Golding is live at Pearson Airport tonight with the latest details. Janice.
Michelle, we're in the departures area at Terminal 1, and if you take a look around us here, you'll see that it is absolutely jam-packed. Now, data shows that 11% of recent flights into Pearson were canceled, with 52% delayed. So with that in mind, Air Canada's president and CEO has issued an apology while announcing that the airline will be reducing flights this summer.
My vacation is my luggage, you know?
I know. Listen, if we can...
I lose my mom, too. I have to go today.
Loretta's flight has been canceled, her luggage lost, and along with it, her medication.
We stay in the line 3 hours. After I take the hotel, I come in here, we don't have the tickets, they said nothing is wrong. You take the bus, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
This confusion and upset playing out throughout Terminal 1 today.
We were here yesterday for 10 hours. We still don't know where our baggage is. It was supposed to be taken off the plane. We were supposed to transfer a flight. And here we are again.
We left Denver yesterday and we're trying to get to Edinburgh. And no one from Air Canada has spoken to us. We got here last night after midnight and we were sitting here, a line a mile long, one person on a desk, and after 10 minutes they closed the desk and walked away.
We've been seeing massive confusion with lost bags at Pearson as more than half of all flights into and out of some of Canada's major airports are being cancelled or delayed.
We are just coming back from North Bay and we've been cancelled twice.
As it deals with customer service shortfalls, Air Canada has decided to reduce flights in July and August by 154 flights a day. That's down from 1,000.
Company President Michael Russo says while air travel ground to a halt during the pandemic, people are returning to flying at a rate never seen in our industry. The surge in travel has created unprecedented and unforeseen strains on all aspects of the global aviation system. WestJet previously announced a 25% cut in its flights from 2019.
I think so. I think they got to cut down the amount of passengers. There's too many people here and not enough people to attend to them. So something's got to be done.
They don't have the capacity in terms of staff to actually operate the airline the way it should be operated, then they should be cancelling flights so that people are not left frustrated.
Well, I was sleeping right here on this chair.
Millie Bratu says the airline should have made the call long ago. She got here from Europe yesterday afternoon, only to find out her flight had been cancelled. The next one, not until July the 2nd.
Find out you have to stay three more days. Without offering you a hotel room, or they offer me $20 for food here in the airport.
And after missing a flight to Australia this morning due to baggage issues, despite arriving 2.5 hours early, Philippe says,
I'm not confident until I'm sitting in that seat and the airplane leaves the tarmac.
Meanwhile, Ottawa has announced that travelers will still be required to use the ArriveCan app until at least the end of September. And what that really means is that Canadian travelers who are not vaccinated will have to quarantine for 2 weeks once they return home, while people from out of the country will have to prove that they are, in fact, vaccinated. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Janice. Still to come, preparing for a safe and enjoyable Canada Day. The warning and new initiatives from Toronto Police following the violence at Ashbridges Bay during the last long weekend.
Sunny and warm on this Thursday evening, heading right into the long weekend. People off to beaches and parks tonight, but what will Canada Day have in store? Michelle Jobin is here with a look at the current conditions. They look pretty fabulous there down at the beach. I know people have big plans. How's it looking?
Well, we are looking at heat and humidity on the rise. In fact, what we're experiencing this evening and tonight in terms of temperature is part of the story. And then we have some instability to talk about for tomorrow. I did see some spotty pop-up showers here on our satellite and radar imagery passing to the north of Toronto. That's not amounting to a lot, but there is a little instability out there, mostly clear or a few clouds tonight. 19-kilometer sustained winds out of the south, gusting up to 30 kilometers out in Toronto. Higher gusts elsewhere. What we're looking at temperature-wise, we got up to 26 so far in Toronto. It is hotter to the southwest. That is moving in on us in the next little while. So 20 degrees at the islands, feeling like 25 right now, 25 feeling like 30 at Pearson. We've got the sunshine, bit breezy, but look at these overnight lows, 22 degrees. Feeling like 25 overnight. That's very warm. We'll talk more about what that means coming up. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Well, the hope is for clear conditions for the fireworks set to light up the sky for our nation's birthday.
Canada Day celebrations set for Ashbridges Bay. And tonight, we're learning more about police plans to keep people safe following a violent Victoria Day long weekend in May. CTV's Beth McDonnell joins us live with the details. Beth.
Nathan, the beach is buzzing with police officers. We're seeing them patrol the boardwalk on ATVs, and many are parked here in the parking lot behind me. Police officers want to make sure there isn't any violence like there was during the last long weekend. On the beach and at the ready, Toronto police don't want to take any chances when it comes to Canada Day celebrations.
We heard about what happened, there were quite a lot of shootings as well, so we're trying to stay safe.
Mumunia Rahman and Taha Hashimi are here to celebrate their high school graduation today instead of tomorrow. They want to avoid being caught up in any violence like what took place on Victoria Day weekend. People were shot, stabbed, robbed at gunpoint, and fired off Roman candles into the crowd.
I think, yeah, you shouldn't be bringing fireworks, especially when there's so many people here in Woodbine Beach. So that could, pose fatalities and casualties.
Over the weekend, police say they're expecting large crowds along the city's waterfront, with public safety at the forefront.
We want the public to know that there will be a visible police presence and a variety of resources. We will be in the area to ensure everyone enjoys the weekend safely.
Police are reminding beach and park goers fireworks are prohibited and say cameras will be used to investigate any crimes. Several protests around the city are also planned this weekend. Along with road closures, officers say they are not ruling out using large vehicles to close intersections if necessary to ensure safety. For festivities, there will be Canada Day road closures in North York near Melasman Square and in East York to make way for its Canada Day parade. Back at the beach, people are in the mood to unwind.
Go outside as much as possible, if the weather's nice, and then not much, you know. Canada Day is here, so we're going to eat a lot of food, drink a lot of beer.
I don't really see us making too many changes. Just being aware of our surroundings when we're out and about and steering clear of any problem-looking areas.
We know that tomorrow is going to be quite hectic, but that's why we're here today. So we're hoping to just, you know, have fun today, and then tomorrow just not really be here.
Police want people to know they are standing by to make sure everyone has a good and safe time. Police say they're ready to respond to dynamic situations, and road closures in the city could change over the weekend. Reporting live at the beach, I'm Beth McDonnell. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Beth. There are Canada Day events happening all across the GTA. For a list of where to watch fireworks and what's open and closed, head to our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And in Ottawa, the first in-person Canada Day celebrations in 2 years will be held tomorrow.
A huge crowd's expected to turn out for the festivities, but the nation's capital is on edge as renewed protests are also expected. CTV's Natalie Van Roy reports.
A strong security presence in the nation's capital. Officers on foot, in undercover vehicles, and on bikes patrolling ahead of the festivities and planned protests.
We are on Parliament Hill, so in some sense I feel like it should be heavily guarded just because it is the home of the Prime Minister, you know, and where the government officials are.
A motor vehicle exclusion zone has been set up around Parliament Hill, the downtown core, and at roads around the Breton Flats, where the main festivities will be held this year. Ottawa bylaw handing out more than 154 parking tickets and towing more than 40 vehicles. The main stage at Le Breton Flats all set up Thursday as organizers prepare for a concert.
Tens of thousands of people are expected to visit the downtown core and Le Breton Flats to celebrate Canada's 155th birthday.
To finally be back again and back at it, missed it the last 2 years.
On Parliament Hill, a security checkpoint in place to get access to the area. A list of restricted items for gaining access to the area includes tents, sporting equipment, speakers, weapons, and fireworks.
Natalie Van Roy, CTV News.
From the Premier to the Deputy Prime Minister, there are calls for a peaceful Canada Day in the nation's capital.
I'm all for peaceful protest, and you can demonstrate, but, you know, no shenanigans this weekend. Just be peaceful.
All Canadians should know that they are going to do what needs to be done to keep the celebration of Canada Day in Ottawa safe, peaceful, and a real celebration.
Police say they will be prepared for a number of different scenarios and will respond quickly to any illegal activity. Reinforcements from the RCMP and OPP have been brought in.
This is a divisive issue. I've seen it. I've been doing this for 131 days as of today. And I'm seeing a lot of people hurting out there, and I think this is part of the healing process right now.
A Canadian Army reservist has arrived in Ottawa, completing a cross-country march from Vancouver. James Topp says he's protesting vaccine mandates and supporting those negatively impacted by them. Federal Conservative leadership candidate Pierre Poilievre joined Topp for about 2 kilometers of his journey.
A popular Canada Day tradition has been canceled this year. The Snowbirds will not be doing a fly past over Ottawa. The fleet of Tudor jets was grounded following a problem with the aircraft's emergency ejection parachute timing device. So the team will have to conduct some practice flights after not flying for a while. And maintenance work is needed on the planes. Still to come, changes coming to grocery store aisles, new labeling rules on the way, how the government hopes it will help Canadians make healthier food choices.
It could be good news for Ontario teachers as the school year comes to an end. The Premier says they can expect a wage increase during upcoming negotiations, though he adds it won't be through the roof, but fair.
Meanwhile, one of Ontario's largest unions is calling for the government to repeal legislation that holds more than 1 million public sector workers to a 1% annual wage increase. CTV's Scott Lightfoot reports.
5 years ago, I actually made more money than I currently do now.
My colleagues and I are watching our pay completely stagnate while the cost of things like housing, food, and gas are speeding ahead.
Registered practical nurse Lisa Barker is among the 1.3 million Ontarians affected by Bill 124. Today, the union that represents many of them renewed its fight to scrap the highly controversial legislation.
Doug Ford, the message to you is simple. Please repeal Bill 124 and give us a chance so we can negotiate fair wages for our members who deserve this.
Introduced back in 2019, Bill 124 puts a 1% a year compensation limit on public sector contracts. At the time, the government said it was a time-limited three-year move to help control the deficit. QP Ontario says now is the time to get rid of it.
In light of historic inflation, which is now at 7.7%, that's amounted to a real wage cut. Bill 124 is making it even harder for frontline workers in healthcare, in social services, universities, and so many others who are now struggling to make ends meet. They're falling further and further behind as their wages are forced by law to sink against inflation.
The government has signaled it will take inflation into consideration once current agreements lapse.
We're very aware of the current environment that we're in, you know, and I think the Premier said it best. You know, we want to be fair. We want to respect the taxpayers. We want to recognize the environment that we're in.
But QP members say action needs to be taken immediately, saying burnout from the pandemic coupled with wage issues are leading many to leave their professions and leaving many organizations short-staffed.
All support workers need to be better compensated so we can take care of the people in service, their family or family, and ourselves.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
And we now know when legislators will be back at Queen's Park following this month's provincial election. Premier Doug Ford says MPPs will begin sitting on August 8th, and the session will last for approximately 5 weeks. It's expected the main focus for the Progressive Conservatives will be passing the budget they introduced before Ontarians went to the polls.
Trustees at the Toronto District School Board have approved a $3.4 billion operating budget for the next school year. The budget includes some staff reductions while committing funding to mental health supports, student safety, and resources to combat racism. The TDSB says it has a projected deficit of $40.4 million, mostly linked to unfunded pandemic costs and declining enrollment. The board plans to use its reserves to balance the operating budget for 2022-23.
The NATO summit in Madrid has ended with a renewed pledge to support Ukraine.
That includes more military aid from Canada. CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier reports.
NATO allies wrap their summit in Madrid today with pledges to send more troops to Latvia, bolster the alliance's eastern flank, and send more money and more weapons to Ukraine.
We continue to support Ukraine as it defends itself and our democracies.
Canada will send 39 armored combat support vehicles equipped with a machine gun and 6 additional high-resolution drone cameras to Ukraine.
We're just glad to help, and we're going to continue to look and respond to things they need.
The armored vehicles are expected to be in service in Ukraine this summer. The federal government is using what remained of the $500 million budgeted for the war effort in Ukraine to make good on its promise. NATO Secretary General says allies must prepare for a worst-case scenario.
If this becomes a full-scale war between Russia and NATO, then we'll see suffering, damage, death, destruction at a scale which is much, much worse than what we see in Ukraine today.
A dire warning as member countries increase their budgets and the number of troops they will commit to the alliance.
We'll station more ships in here in Spain. We're stationing more air defense in Italy and Germany, more F-35s in the United Kingdom, and to strengthen our eastern flank, new permanent headquarters for the Army 5th Corps in Poland.
The UK is calling for even more spending, saying the 2% of GDP on defense is just not enough.
We propose to embark of these decisions is that we'll reach 2.5% of GDP on defense by the end of the decade.
As two more countries, Sweden and Finland, prepare to join NATO, the message to Vladimir Putin is clear. The alliance that was seeking relevance before his invasion has been made stronger by his aggression. Joyce Napier, CTV News, Ottawa.
In Washington, the first black woman appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court was sworn in today.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson, do solemnly swear that I
will support and the 51-year-old is the court's 116th justice. She was sworn in moments after her successor's retirement took effect at noon. Brown is replacing Justice Stephen Breyer. She says she's grateful to be part of the promise of a great nation and extended thanks to her new colleagues for their gracious welcome.
SpaceX has completed nearly 160 successful Falcon 9 rocket launches, and here's the latest one to blast off.
And liftoff.
The two-stage rocket lifted off from Florida's Cape Canaveral last evening. On board was an SES C-band satellite. It will contribute toward delivering TV and radio to millions of people in the U.S. SpaceX has also completed almost 120 landings of its reusable rocket.
Back here on Earth, you can bet kids everywhere are on cloud nine tonight.
It's a moment we all remember. School's out for summer. There's a long weekend ahead. Time for the holidays to begin. TTV's John Musselman was at one TDSB school as the bell rang for the last time.
On the last day of school, ringing the historic bell seemed like the right thing to do. Teachers, parents, and fellow classmates lined the hallway to clap out the graduating grade 8 students at Rolleston Community School near St. Clair and Oakwood Avenue.
They have persevered and been so resilient throughout this entire school year. We want to wish them an amazing, well-earned summer holiday. No more COVID for at least 2 months or ever, but we're just really proud of our students.
The last day of school means the first day of summer for these excited children. Swimming, biking, going to camp, or just hanging out. You name it, and it's on the list.
I'm looking to spending time with my family and friends and just like hanging out with everybody.
Just chillaxing, yeah.
I just ordered 2 water guns, so I'm going to terrorize my younger sister with those.
Well, I'm going to go to the countryside to do some sailing classes.
For the little ones in kindergarten, it was goodbye to a favorite teacher, but excitement to what lies ahead.
Go to the beach. Go to the trailer.
And what are you going to do at the trailer?
Go to the beach.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
With a lot of the JKs, they haven't been in school without COVID. Yeah. So I think coming back hopefully next year, if there's no more COVID protocols left, we'll see how they how they're different.
Some students have big plans. This boy is headed to the Peruvian jungle.
Me and my sister are planning on going to the jungle.
The jungle?
Yeah.
Wow, what are you going to do there?
We have an uncle there living there, and we were going to visit him.
Well, this student is looking forward to overnight camp and a bit of a break from her mom and dad.
And I'm really excited because it's been so long. I'm looking forward to being able to, like, be away from my parents for 2 weeks.
This little boy has one main objective this summer, and it's pretty straightforward.
Jumping.
Jumping? Jumping's good.
Welcome to the summer of 2022. John Musselman, CTV News.
Plenty of time for jumping. Coming up, the World Health Organization warns the pandemic is not over. How much COVID cases rose worldwide in the last week, and the push for Canadians to get a second booster.
Well, looking ahead to the Canada Day long weekend, we are hot and humid getting into tomorrow. We do have the potential for thunderstorms throughout the day. 29 degrees feeling like 35. Heat and humidity breaks a little bit getting into Saturday and Sunday. We have lots of sunshine. I'll tell you about the timing of those thunderstorms coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The Ford government has been driver-friendly lately by canceling license plate renewal fees, removing some tolls from highways, and today cutting the gas tax.
Now the premier said in his strongest language yet that insurance premiums based on your postal code will soon be coming to an end. Pat Foran has more on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Thanks, Michelle and Nathan. It's been a complaint of many drivers over the years. Even if they have no accidents or tickets, their premiums can go up based on where they live. Today the premier said that's unfair and his government is working on a new plan to change it.
It's been a common complaint to CTV News over the years. Families with clean driving records and no collisions or traffic tickets would continue to see huge increases in their premiums. The hikes were especially large in the city of Brampton.
I don't like the idea of being punished because of where you live.
Now it appears the province is ready to do away with insurance rates that are based on postal codes.
Insurance companies are making tons of money, and it's coming out of the pockets of Ontarians, so we're going to be all over them.
After pressure from the government, the insurance industry did provide $1.3 billion in insurance relief in the form of rebates when customers were driving less during the pandemic. Now Premier Ford seems ready to do away with postal code discrimination.
As far as I'm concerned, it's totally unfair to the people of Brampton or Scarborough that they're going after these people based on their postal code. That's going to come to an end real quickly. They have to treat people fairly.
It completely does not make sense that someone with a clean driving record has to pay more because they live in a certain area.
Matt Hans with RateHub says changing the insurance system will take time, and he believes if people paying higher rates get an insurance decrease, other drivers could see their rates go up.
They're going to have to spread the risk. So it might mean that people that are paying a lower rate in an area like, say, London or Ottawa might see an increase to help offset the decrease in the other areas, because insurance is all about balancing the risk.
In the provincial budget released in April, the Ford government also said it plans to crack down on insurance fraud, create more choices for consumers, and enhance fairness in the system.
And while the premier said insurance reform is coming, there's no timeline as to when it could happen. Still, after years of talking about it, substantial changes could be coming to the province's insurance system. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
And speaking of driving, a simplified version of the G driver's license exam is staying in place until further notice. The province scrapped parts of the road test this year to deal with a backlog in applicants. Head to our website for full details on the modified test and why critics say it makes roads less safe. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Meanwhile, Toronto police are giving drivers a bit more leeway when it comes to parking on Canada Day tomorrow. Officers will not be enforcing street parking bylaws on rush hour routes, and signs with Monday to Friday rules won't apply during the holiday. Police say enforcement will continue in all other areas and for all other parking offenses.
And all of Toronto's public outdoor pools are now running on their full summer schedules. Each location will welcome swimmers daily through Labor Day weekend. The city does have fewer lifeguards on staff this year because of certification delays, but officials say beaches and outdoor pools will be prioritized.
Right, lots of reason to get excited today. One, the last day of school.
Last day of school, and you got pools open. Kids have lots of time on their hands, and the weather, at least for this long weekend, is going to deliver.
It absolutely will. We need those pools because it will be hot. It will be humid, and for the most part, we will have sunshine. However, there is a risk of thunderstorms that we're going to need to talk about because that is definitely going to be in play for tomorrow. And I know a lot of people have some outdoor plans through the weekend, but especially for Canada Day. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of temperature and in terms of sky condition. And I'll start out with where we are now. If you take a look at our current temperatures around the region, sitting at 25, feeling like 30 in the city of Toronto, we got up to 26 today. Notice how Windsor is at 32, feeling like 34. So there is a heat warning that is in effect. Windsor up towards Elgin County, Strathroy, Sarnia. So we are not in this warning in the GTA. So notice this warning is for temperatures in the low 30s, humidex levels above that, but also overnight lows that are quite high in the 20s. But that is actually where we're going to be here in the GTA tonight. Our projected area of low, or our projected overnight low, I should say, is 22 at Pearson Airport, feeling like 25 degrees. So that is very warm through the overnight period. So not a lot of relief from what heat we do have. As we get up in towards cottage country, much less humidity, but we're still quite warm. For perspective, an overnight low should be around 16 in Toronto this time of the year. And heat and humidity on the rise. We're getting a bit of a flow out of the southwest as we get into tomorrow or out of the south. And that is going to help to bump us up to 29, feeling like 35 in the city of Toronto as we get to our daytime high. The UV index will be a 9 or very high. However, we do have periods of cloudiness and we do have periods of instability in the form of thunderstorms with this area of low pressure moving through. So we're in the warmer sector of the low after the warm front has passed. We get this influx of hot, humid air. We've got the cold front moving in. So seeing a little bit on the radar here north of the city of Toronto, this could be some spotty showers moving out. Pretty clear overnight tonight. More cloud cover building in at times tomorrow and then pausing here around 1:30. And this is when we see some storms moving in. Again, returning around 5 o'clock. There's a risk of seeing some showers into around 9 o'clock at night. They should be clearing, though, I think, more by the time we get to around 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock. So for those of you who have outdoor plans tomorrow night, fireworks, for example, I think we should be okay by the time we get there because, of course, sunset is quite late. It's around 9 o'clock, so we should be okay. Looking ahead to tomorrow, 29, feeling like 35. Stay humid, or stay hydrated, stay cool. You want to keep in mind that we have that thunderstorm risk. 27 for Saturday, 24 for Sunday with the sunshine, 26 for Monday. So the weekend looking lovely and really right through the 7-day forecast. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, what's coming to the front of certain food packages in Canada as the feds move to call out fatty, sugary, and salty foods?
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
Changes are coming to the way food packaging looks across Canada.
New labels will warn consumers about fatty, sugary, and salty foods. CTV's Zoraida Alban joins us with the latest details. Zoraida.
Nathan and Michelle, the new label will be easy to read and spot on prepackaged foods. It'll be right on the front, which will help consumers make quick, informed choices at the grocery store. Health Canada is giving the food industry 3.5 years to comply. It will soon be easier to spot which foods at the grocery store contain higher than recommended amounts of sodium, sugars, and fats. Beginning in 2026, consumers will see a new easy-to-read symbol displayed on the front of prepackaged foods.
These regulations are designed to make it easier for us to make informed, healthier choices of some of the exact same foods we eat now.
These new nutrition food labels will be placed on prepackaged main meals that contain more than 30% of the recommended daily intake of fat, sugars, and sodium. Prepackaged food items that contain more than 15% of the suggested daily value of fat, sugars, and sodium. And for small items of less than 30 grams, like a jar of jam, the threshold is 10%.
It takes just seconds to make a food purchase decision. Nutrition information should be available quickly and in a format that is easily understood to help consumers.
According to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, Canadians get nearly half of their daily calories from ultra-processed foods. The number is even higher for kids. They are applauding the move.
Front-of-package nutrition labeling is an important accomplishment, and today marks a historic day for nutrition policy in Canada.
But some dietitians are approaching the food label changes with some caution, concerned about low-income families who may be troubled by being unable to afford more healthy choices.
It might lead to some guilt or negative self-talk, especially for parents who are feeding their children and might not have the opportunity or the privilege to use that information to make other choices if that's all they can afford.
The label, she says, should encourage people not to avoid these items altogether, but to consume them in moderation.
And Canada joins Chile in labeling prepackaged foods. Health Canada says a year later, the number of food items that carry the label in that country has reduced significantly, suggesting companies are changing their recipes. The government here hopes to see the same thing happen. I'm Zoraida Alman. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Zoraida. Negotiations are underway to procure more vaccine to limit the spread of monkeypox in Canada. There are now 278 confirmed cases nationwide. Federal health officials are looking to get doses of a smallpox vaccine approved for use against monkeypox. They are in talks with the Danish manufacturer Bavarian Nordic. Current doses are coming from Canada's national emergency stockpile. An estimated 5,000 people have been vaccinated in Ontario.
Meanwhile, the World Health Organization says the number of new COVID-19 cases rose 18% globally in the last week. That means there were more than 4.1 million cases worldwide. Most of them were driven by the two Omicron variants. The WHO is urging countries to immunize their most vulnerable people, saying hundreds of millions of people remain unvaccinated. The latest data shows COVID-19 case counts and severe illness trends are stabilizing or declining in many regions of Canada. But some areas are reporting increases, and the proportion of two particular subvariants is on the rise.
Given BA4 and BA5 are even more transmissible and immune evasive than BA1 and BA2, it is reasonable to expect that we'll see an increase in cases over the coming weeks.
Dr. Theresa Tam is also reminding people to remain vigilant as new variants emerge. And the virus continues to circulate in Canada. She says we must prepare for any possible resurgence in the weeks and months ahead.
And Toronto Public Health is holding several COVID-19 vaccine clinics this long weekend. Pop-up clinics will operate at locations across the city where other events are underway. Tomorrow, they'll be at Canada Day festivities at High Park, Stanwood Low Park, and Mel Lastman Square. Health officials say many eligible residents have yet to receive their third and fourth doses, and it's never too late. This comes as wastewater signals show a possible increase in COVID-19 in Ontario.
But we know, though, that people are busy now. They're really thinking about the summer. So, you know, if you're out and you're going to some of these events, you can actually get your vaccine and stay protected while you can still enjoy that excellent activity.
Dr. Vanita Dubé says some residents are still coming forward to get their first shot of COVID-19 vaccine, and those individuals are always welcome to get that added protection. A full list of clinics this weekend is available on the city's website.
A change in schedule at Warner Brothers has set up a head-to-head clash between two major movie franchises next year.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Yes.
Deadline reports that Dune Part 2 will now release in November 2023 rather than October. It just so happens to be releasing on the same date as The Hunger Games prequel movie, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Warner Brothers also revealed plans to debut a new Godzilla vs. King Kong movie in 2024.
More than 18 years after Friends went off the air, one of the show's creators says she's embarrassed about a lack of diversity in the show. The sitcom featured a predominantly white cast, and critics say that doesn't reflect the real-life diversity of New York City. Co-creator Marta Kaufman tells the Los Angeles Times that she rejected that criticism for years, but now feels that systemic racism played a part in making Friends less inclusive. Kaufman also pledged $4 million to the African and African American Studies Department at Brandeis University.
The Weeknd is making final plans ahead of his tour launch in Toronto next week. After several pandemic delays, the Scarborough singer kicks off his After Hours Till Dawn tour at Rogers Centre on July 8th. Doja Cat was originally scheduled as the opening act, but after she dropped out, The Weeknd will be joined by electronic artist Kay Trinata and DJ producer Mike Dean in several cities, including Toronto. Soul singer Snow Allegra will be the opening act for several other select dates.
And as we celebrate Canada Day tomorrow, it's also a chance to look back on another major celebration that happened this year, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. The world watched as the monarch marked 70 years on the throne. CTV's Danielle Hamamjan was there covering it all, and now she's compiled a special report looking back at the excitement of the Jubilee and the turmoil in the royal family leading up to it. The Queen's Platinum Jubilee Reporter's Notebook by Danielle Hamamjan debuts tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. on CTV News Channel. You can also check it out on Crave starting July 2nd. CTV and Crave are both divisions of Bell Media.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Because the price has been doing a yo-yo to us, so we can't even budget it anymore.
Updating our top stories, it's the start of the Canada Day long weekend, and the price of gas is weighing on many motorists as they head out of town. And there's some relief. The province is temporarily cutting its gas tax by 5.7 cents per liter, and it starts tomorrow.
There's too many people here and not enough people to attend to them, so something's got to be done.
More turbulence for flyers across Canada today as confusion, delays, and long lineups persist at Pearson and other airports. Air Canada says it's reducing its flight schedule in July and August as it deals with customer service shortfalls. WestJet previously announced a 25% cut in its flights from 2019.
We will be in the area to ensure everyone enjoys the weekend safely.
And Toronto police are promising a stepped-up presence along the waterfront tomorrow evening for the Canada Day celebrations. The city hoping to avoid a repeat of the violent scene on the Victoria Day long weekend. Officers also are reminding partygoers that fireworks are prohibited there.
And keep up to date through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video breaking news, let us know.
We have more on the growing demand for summer travel and WestJet's decision to not return to pre-pandemic levels. BNN Bloomberg's Jacqueline Hansen reports.
WestJet CEO told BNN Bloomberg that while a massive rebound in demand is good for the airline and the industry, it is also causing operational challenges. The Calgary-based airline says it is operating 25 fewer flights this summer than in 2019. Airlines and airports have struggled to rehire in order to keep up with the return of travelers. Air Canada says it's canceling more than 150 daily flights this summer. Most of them will be in and out of two of the country's busiest hubs, Toronto and Montreal. Let's take a look at some of the closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar is trading at 77.68 cents U.S., down just slightly. West Texas Intermediate oil fell more than $4 to $105.96 U.S. And Western Canadian Select dropped by nearly $4 as well to $87.60 U.S. As for stock markets, the TSX ended the trading week at 18,861.36, down more than 200 points. That is the latest in business. I'm Jacqueline Hansen of BNN Bloomberg.
The parent company of Swiss Chalet and The Keg is suspending its partnership with Hockey Canada. Recipe Unlimited says, our company focuses on creating inclusive and safe spaces for our teammates and guests, and we expect the same from our partners. We will continue to be in contact with Hockey Canada to outline our expectations for change and to ensure the right steps are being taken to pave a safer and more inclusive future for hockey in Canada. The national sports organization has lost support of several sponsors due to its handling of an alleged sexual assault case. They include Tim Hortons, Imperial Oil, Scotiabank, Canadian Tire, and TELUS.
There is only one Canadian left at Wimbledon after a second round play today. Bianca Andreescu was eliminated by Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan. The 22-year-old from Mississauga had advanced to round two at the All England Tennis Club for the first time in her career.
Richmond Hill's Denis Shapovalov is also out. The 23-year-old lost to American Brandon Nakashima today. Shapovalov reached the semifinals at Wimbledon last year, his best result at a Grand Slam tournament. Now, Ottawa's Gabriella Dabrowski is the lone Canadian left. She plays in the second round doubles draw tomorrow.
It was party time in the Mile High City today. Denver held a Stanley Cup victory celebration.
We feel super blessed. City of Denver, this parade was insane. We couldn't be luckier to have a group of fans like we have. So I'd like to thank everybody on the team organization. And hope we can do this again one day. So thank you so much.
Thousands attended a rally and parade for their hockey heroes and for a chance to see the Cup, of course. The Colorado Avalanche beat the Lightning in six games, ending Tampa's bid for a third straight championship. The Avalanche have now won the Cup three times in franchise history.
Metrolinx held several events last weekend, giving away free trees. The transit agency says approximately 1,000 plants were handed out to local residents living near the Lakeshore East GO and the future route of the Ontario line. Rail construction has meant the removal of many mature trees. Metrolinx says it has planted more than 25,000 native trees and shrubs, but local tree giveaways also help restore the tree canopy.
Just ahead, that summer feeling. No more school and two whole months of freedom ahead. We catch up with some kids as they outline their big plans.
Tonight, the plan to put food labels front and center.
We really have to try to educate people about these changes.
Canada's new move to highlight saturated fats, sugar, and sodium in prepackaged products. Later on CTV National News.
The last day of school is always a big moment, especially after another year that saw disruptions from the pandemic.
Earlier, we heard from some students on their plans for the summer. We asked a few more kids about the types of memories they plan to make this season.
I'm going to the cottage.
I'm probably going swimming, meeting up with my friends.
I'm going to Dubai, and I'm going to Korea, and I'm going to all the countries.
We're going to be going on like a big RV. We're going to be going like all around Canada and stuff.
I'm going to go to places during the summer break, like Canada's Wonderland and my grandma and grandpa's.
Oh yeah, those plans sound fabulous. No matter where the summer takes them, school is now out until September 7th for most students.
But do the parents know about all those travel
plans? I'm not sure. Going to every country, yes.
Anyway, I'm sure people are going away this weekend.
And in case they do, I happen to have a little cottage forecast that is prepared for them. Let's take a look at that right now. Should you be heading north of the city, this is how things are playing out over the next few days. We do still have across the region the risk of thunderstorms, more heat and humidity for tomorrow, and then for Saturday and Sunday, that dials down in terms of temperature, humidity, and we get a lot of sunshine. So a great weekend on the way. Just be mindful of that thunderstorm risk tomorrow afternoon, evening, 29 tomorrow, feeling like 35 in Toronto, 27 for Saturday, 24 for Sunday. And again, overnight tonight, 22 degrees, feeling like 25 in Toronto.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zarada Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.